That was for King and Country and Priceless. You know, in God's eyes, in God's economy, every life is priceless. But tragically, there's so many people whose lives have been cheapened through human trafficking. You know, modern day slavery is a real problem, not just across the globe, but right here close to home. And coming up in May, it's going to be the Human Trafficking Community Workshop in Sparta. That's going to be May 18th from noon until 2 p.m. And on the phone with me, we have Kat Jacoby. Kat is with the Fierce Freedom Organization in Eau Claire. Hello, Kat. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Fierce Freedom for those people who are not familiar with your organization.
Sure. So Fierce Freedom was founded several years back. About I think we received our nonprofit status in 2012. Our executive director was a mom who basically found out internationally about what human trafficking was. So as you said, the face of modern-day slavery. So she saw the international side of it, but she really had it on her heart, and God really put it on her heart that this cannot happen in my hometown. This cannot happen in our country, and we need to address the demand and who is buying the sex and everything. So she basically started this nonprofit. Now it's now we've grown, and we have more staff now to basically educate and spread awareness of human trafficking and what it looks like domestically in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. In addition to education, we also work with victims and kind of help them in their journey of healing as well.
You know, again, a lot of people think, oh, that's a problem that happens, you know, maybe overseas somewhere. But unfortunately, it's happening right here close to home. And in every county in the state of Wisconsin, there have been reported incidents of human trafficking. And especially on the thoroughfare, it seems like between Chicago and the Twin Cities, Milwaukee, just seems like, you know, it's happening right here, and we all need to be educated, and we all need to be aware of what's going on around us.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely off of the 94 corridor, a big tactic that traffickers will use is actually to transport their victims, you know, all around the state, all around the country. So we're seeing a lot of times at truck stops, traffic stops, there is actually a lot of trafficking that goes on within that. The confines of truck stops. And so there's actually what's called, this is a derogatory term for the victims who are basically soliciting drivers, truck drivers, for sex. Their traffickers will bring them there because they know that there's a large male population, frankly, and that's kind of where the demand is. So then they are called lot lizards. So they'll kind of wait out and they will basically approach the truck driver and ask them if they're interested in buying. And a truck driver can actually honk their horn, flash their lights. So that's just an example of one place that it does happen. Hotels is another big part of the problem. Online massage parlors. And even like just thinking about demand, you just have to ask yourself, well, you know, what about large sporting events or things like that? So even with like the Super Bowl that happened in the cities, the amount of sexual ads that were placed over the weekend went up 90%.
Oh my goodness!
Just within the span of about 2 days. So it definitely does happen here. It's an urban problem, and it's also a rural problem.
Yeah, sometimes we think if we live in a rural community that we're kind of isolated from and insulated from those things happening, but that's not the case. You know, we're talking about statistics, you know, and the ads going up 90%, but put a face to the victims of human trafficking. Who gets caught up in this web?
Sure. So there is a statistic as well that says that the average age of entry into the sex trade is about from age 12 to 15. So we're actually really talking about a lot of times that younger demographic because with that, I mean, from a marketing standpoint, youth attracts a lot of interest. But also when you're that young and vulnerable, it's very easy for somebody to come along and kind of manipulate you because maybe you don't have that worldly knowledge and you're looking for that love and acceptance. And so a lot of times they are being targeted. However, Fierce Freedom has worked with over 40 victims of trafficking, and we've actually seen all age ranges. So it kind of gives you an idea, but a lot of times we see women that have actually been caught up in drugs a lot of times who are actually sort of targeted too. I think that, again, that's another vulnerability where if they already are addicted to drugs or their trafficker may get them addicted to drugs in order to kind of control them.
So what is your goal? What is your mission through Fierce Freedom?
Does ending trafficking seem way too ambitious?
It's a good goal.
We would love that. I mean, and we definitely believe that God has called us to do it. We believe that through God, all things are possible. So right now we work to educate and equip people because we believe that prevention is such a huge part of this. And then also working with victims to sort of help them through what they've experienced. But I really do think that everybody coming together is going to solve the problem. It's going to take men, women, people from every walk of life to really come together. And I do believe we could see an end to it. It is such a huge problem. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just important that people don't think, you know, that's not affecting me. That's not something I need to worry about because you go to a presentation and I ask how many have been affected by human trafficking. I always get somebody that has been affected. I think it's a lot more common than people realize. And I think for the good of mankind, and we're called to something higher than just kind of watching and not doing anything. So, again, I really think it will take everybody to kind of pitch in and join.
So on the home front, what can we as parents, as educators, as people in churches, maybe in youth groups, what can we do personally to help protect our children and to, you know, educate them and to equip them?
Absolutely. I always say with parents and with grandparents and even mentors, I think digital safety is a huge part of why trafficking really flourishes today. As I mentioned, sexual ads a lot of times are online. Technology has really played a facilitating role in this. And so if you're really invested in your child or your grandchild, you know, their life, and you're really asking them those questions of who are you talking to online, and you can even develop sort of a contract of, you know, I will be habitually checking your technology, and it's not because I don't trust you, but I don't trust other people and predators that are out there, because a lot of times those predators are gleaning information from that child without them even realizing it. Mm-hmm. And just being invested in, you know, the apps that they're using and doing your research as a parent to say, you know, even finding there's safeware out there that kind of helps you kind of protect your child from different websites and things like that, and being exposed to it. And I just think in general, just knowing that child, I think parents are a lot of times, if you're an involved parent and you know your child, you're going to know when they begin to change or when their pattern of behavior is sort of disintegrating, or, you know, different people are coming into their life and introducing different things to them. If you can spot that right away, and just kind of open it up as a teachable moment and just say, you know, I've noticed this about you. And this kind of, you know, just kind of asking them about it and just having that trusting, open relationship. And making sure that you say things like, I would never not love you no matter what anyone says or what anyone does to you or what you do. Because again, traffickers will even use shame to really control their victims, and they'll say, you know, your parents are not going to want anything to do with you now. So if they know that they're unconditionally loved, then they will find it a lot easier to share and confide in their parents as well.
And aside from that, who seems to be the most vulnerable?
Again, I think we kind of all have vulnerabilities, but sort of what I mentioned with, I think that drugs really do play a huge part in the vulnerability of a lot of people. Again, if somebody already has that kind of, I guess, substance abuse, I would say is huge. Mm-hmm. But again, too, like thinking about it, you know, a history of trauma also plays a huge role. There's a statistic that says if somebody has already been sexually abused, it is likely that that will continue. Mm-hmm. Because that kind of lays that framework. And if somebody, especially if someone is going to be trafficked, and somebody kind of starts to, you know, groom them and maybe use abuse to control them or threats, that's something that they are sort of used to. They're not going to think, you know, this isn't normal. They're going to think this is normal. So history of substance abuse and a history of trauma, I think, really play a huge role in the process, too.
You know, many of our listeners are on the road a lot. They travel maybe from the La Crosse area up to the Eau Claire area or other places. A lot of professional drivers who listen in. What are some things that we should be aware of? What should we watch out for when we are traveling and on the road that could maybe let us know that, hey, this person right. may be in danger here. We need to maybe step Absolutely. In and do something.
Absolutely, yeah. So just a couple of maybe physical signs that you would see at a truck stop. You might see a woman who, just in general, her health is really declined physically. But maybe, so there's kind of that divide. Maybe her health is physically declined, but her hair and her nails are really freshly done because that's actually kind of part of that lifestyle that they are trying to buy into, is that high-rolling like lifestyle. But their long-term health isn't really going to be taken into consideration. If you do approach that person, and it could be a male victim as well, if you approach that person and try to engage them in conversation because you notice, or even if they don't have a winter coat on and it's really cold out, stuff like that, if you engage them in conversation, they may really not even look at you. They may not look you in the eye. They've really been coached and coerced into submission by their trafficker. So they're going to be looking at the ground. They may sound very rehearsed when they talk to you. They may not even ask you for help, but you may have to kind of put that together. And especially if there's, their possible trafficker or somebody else who's sort of doing all the talking, and they're kind of doing the controlling, the victim may even kind of look at them. They may glance at them before talking to you. It's like, is this okay? Kind of that nonverbal, is this okay if I talk to them? Mm-hmm. So again, someone who doesn't really have agency, someone who can't talk or speak for themselves, that's always something that I would say would be cause for alarm.
And what do you do? If you suspect something's going on, what can you do?
Absolutely. There's some really great resources. I think probably the number one resource that I always recommend is just the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And that number is 1-888-373-7888. And you can also text that number as well. But that's been a really great resource, because what that number does, it's this national hotline, but let's say that there are five calls, from one area. So we're from Eau Claire. So if there are five calls that hotline does receive of reports of human trafficking, then that will trickle down to local law enforcement with that tip. And so they'll be able to piece together, this area has a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. And so then that will help them get more information. So you're basically being the eyes and ears of law enforcement, and you're making that call. I would say if you're in a situation too where you think that person is being trafficked and you're worried for their safety, I would say try to call like law enforcement to that area and get the victim to stay with you. And just say, I'm calling help for you. And it's unfortunate because a lot of victims do not self-identify as a victim, or they're very afraid of what will happen. But if you can just get them help at the scene, if they end up leaving, they don't want your help, try to either give them the hotline or make a report, and just give as much detail and be as specific as you can when you do make that report.
Try to get license plate numbers and things like that.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Description, tattoos, anything that could help in the police. So.
Well, thank you so much for the work you're doing through Fierce Freedom. Again, our guest today is Kat Jacoby, and she will be part of a human trafficking community workshop. That is coming up on May the 18th, and that's going to be at Faith Evangelical Free Church in Sparta. Everyone is welcome to attend, and you can find more information on our community calendar. That's on the Praise Network mobile app and also online at praisenetwork.com. Kat, who is this workshop for? Who would you encourage to attend the workshop on Saturday the 18th?
I would encourage everybody to come, really. As I said, I think it's going to take everybody in the community to really come together. I think if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a member of law enforcement, specifically we are going to be speaking a little bit more about the, as I mentioned, truck stops, so truckers against trafficking, if you're a truck driver, anything like that. I think if you're concerned about this and want to know more, it would be a great opportunity to also attend. So it's very much open to the public.
Well, great. Again, that is coming up on Saturday, May 18th. It is a human trafficking community workshop. Kat Jacoby from Fierce Freedom will be one of the speakers. Also, Spencer Cleary, he is with Truckers Against Trafficking, and he will be presenting that day as well. It's going to be held at Faith Evangelical Free Church in Sparta. Everyone is welcome. And again, you can find all the details and make reservations through our website at praisenetwork.com. Kat, again, thank you for your time, and thank you for the work that you are doing to help the victims of human trafficking.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on.
And again, Kat is with Fierce Freedom, and we will have that contact information on our ministry partner page. That's on the website as well at praisenetwork.com. Kat, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.